Monsters are dangerous, and just now, kings are dying like flies.
I am the king!
Fuck the king.
Welcome to Game of Thrones, Wieners and Such, Season 7, Episode 2, Stormborn. By the way, that intro, which is really good, is Game of Thrones Metronome. It's you can look him up on YouTube if you want to hear that that really, really, really good remix. But
very
welcome, guys.
Dubsteppy.
Yeah, it's really dubsteppy. Joining us tonight is Western Echo. Dennis, how you doing, buddy?
Shall we begin?
I think we shall. Really quick recap.
Emmy!
And, of course, Marie. really quick recap here. Well, what we had, the way we ended the last episode, Dragonstone, was Danny in the war room. At Dragonstone, exactly.
Dusting off the old table.
Yes, correct. And we are, you know, we also have to remember that she has a war council now with what's her face from, and I'm really bad with names, but Varys is there, the chick from...
There's the Dorne
yes,
queen.
Yes, correct, the chick from Dorne, correct.
And there's the Tyrell grandma.
Correct. And
Alina.
Yes, thank you. You're much better with the names than I am. Now, we also want to address a quick rumor before we get into the episode that I think has kind of been confirmed. People think that Sam is the narrator of Game of Thrones. Basically, in the book, the person telling the story. And there's a couple of reasons why. If you look at the library where Sam is working, that centerpiece, I don't know what you would call it, is the same as... the intro of the show, that globe atlas. I don't know. What would you call that?
The map?
No. Right before the map, like that sphere. I don't know. Anyway. And also, he talks
about...
The
compass?
Yes, compass. There you go.
The circular compass.
Right.
Thing.
That's also in the library. And when he's talking to the other dude in the morgue, he's also, the other dude's writing a book about, you know, the after everything, after a Robert, whatever. And he goes, well, that's not a very poetic name. So that's the theory anyway.
That's all well and good, but he only knows about the north. That boy's never gone south. How is he narrating the southern parts?
Oh, no. I'm just saying, well, I mean, he knows people from the south. I mean, he's going to talk to people. You know, Sam's a writer. I think Sam works really hard.
Yeah, shoveling poop.
Now, I will say this week, the intro included Dragonstone, which I thought was really, really cool.
Very exciting.
The title screen.
There it is, Dragonstone.
Yeah, it had Dragonstone, and I thought that was awesome.
Title screens are just getting really exciting with the lands that are being highlighted.
Well, something that we talked about a little bit last week, but I saw some articles written this week, is during the title screen when they're showing the wall, they're showing that the water next to the wall, the ocean, is frozen. So that might be the way the walkers get, you know, around the wall.
Right there in Winterfell?
Winterfell, they're going to show the wall.
That frozen water part?
Right. Well, right now they're showing the Winterfell, which is, again, the intro to the show is amazing. There's a compass I'm talking about. That's actually in the library. When they scoot by the wall, this time it's when they pull back here after they go by the wall here, you'll see on the right-hand side, before it was just ocean. This time the ocean is frozen. See? It's frozen. And people are saying that that's how they're going to get around. I don't think so. I would think they're going to do something a little bit more epic, but...
They are the undead, though. It wouldn't matter to them whether the ocean's frozen or not.
Yeah, I don't think that makes a difference.
Yeah, well, it is something that has changed from the intro from last season to this season.
Right. We also see the Citadel now.
Correct.
At the end, before Game of Thrones begins, which is exciting.
Yes.
New lands are always exciting to me.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I agree. It's one of those things where, you know, it's one of those shows where I still sit through the intro.
Of course.
I really enjoy it.
It tells you what's happening for the episode.
It gets me hyped. So the beginning of the episode opens up with them at Dragonstone, and it's storming.
Stormborn.
Yeah, Stormborn, which is, of course, a good name, the episode.
Yes.
Now I'm just trying to remember now. Now Dani is talking to her council, I guess is what you would call it.
Yeah, she has a few of the leaders of different lands that don't agree with Cersei. So she's got, you know, she's got
the old
Tyrion,
lady
Tyrion.
She only has Tyrion and she has Varys, and she's grilling him relentlessly.
All right, yeah. Let's hear a little bit here, just a little bit.
Not so many lions.
Cersei controls fewer than half the Seven Kingdoms. The lords of Westeros despise her. Even before your arrival, they plotted against her. Now...
They cry out for their true queen. They drink secret toasts to my health. People used to tell my brother that sort of thing, and he was stupid enough to believe them. If Viserys had three dragons and an army at his back, he'd have invaded King's Landing already.
Conquering Westeros would be easy for you.
So, this scene, Dany's becoming way more queen-like. I think this season specifically.
Yeah, we've never seen her before like this in a war strategy situation where she actually has to lead people.
Now, Dennis, I agree. She's absolutely grilling Varys, and Varys gives a great monologue back, which I thought was one of the highlights of the episode. Where she goes, you've turned your back on how many different rulers, you know, and she goes down the list and he goes, you know, I really think you're the actual queen. And by the way, the actor who plays Varys has lost some weight. That was something that I thought was very noticeable.
Yeah.
He
has less of a belly underneath that robe.
Right.
Varys, like Littlefinger, has spent a lifetime learning how to tell people what they want to hear, and he does an impeccable job of doing it here. Although not so much Littlefinger as we hear later in the episode.
Right, so let's see here.
So you took it upon yourself to find a better
one? Your Grace, when I was ready to drink myself into a small coffin, Lord Varys told me about a queen in the East.
Before I came to power, you favored my brother. All your spies, your little birds. Did they tell you Viserys was cruel, stupid, and weak? Would those qualities have made for a good king, in your learned opinion?
Until your marriage to Khal Drogo, Your Grace, I knew nothing about you save your existence and that you were said to be beautiful.
So you and your friends traded me like a prize horse to the Dothraki.
Which you turned to your advantage.
Who gave the order to kill me?
Ooh, here it comes.
Ooh, here it is. This is what I wanted to point out. This scene is great.
Who hired the assassins? Who sent word to Essos to murder Daenerys Targaryen?
Your Grace, I did what had to be done
to keep yourself alive.
Lord Varys has proven himself a loyal servant.
Proven himself loyal, quite the opposite. If he dislikes one monarch,
I was following orders.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of servant is that?
The kind the realm needs. Incompetent should not be rewarded with blind loyalty. As long as I have my eyes, I'll use them. I wasn't born into a great house. I came from nothing. I was sold as a slave and carved up as an offering. When I was a child, I lived in alleys, gutters, abandoned houses. You wish to know where my true loyalties lie? Not with any king or queen, but with the people.
Ooh.
The people who suffer under despots and prosper under just rule.
Yes, so at this point, we now see Daenerys and Varys becoming best friends.
I wouldn't say best friends.
No, they both have a common thing, which is for the people. They're the fucking Bernie Sanders.
I don't know if it's for the people. I think it's what Dennis was saying. I think Varys knows that's what she wants to hear.
Okay, well...
I just want to point out that at this point, I think the word...
You cut out there, Dennis.
What were you saying?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, I want to point out that the word has definitely gotten around that she has a soft spot for the working class. So everybody, and you will hear it later in the episode, is telling her the same things. They're all trying to seem like they can relate to the slave class, to the working class, and they're all trying to play her right
now.
Do
you think Varys is lying to her right now?
I think it's too early to say what his intentions are. He never lets his intentions know.
No, you never know his intentions, but this was something that I actually believed because I always wondered how he had all his little birds and if all his little birds are just homeless kids and if he were homeless or he grew up on the streets just like he was, that makes so much sense why he controls the children in the first place.
Mark Minko in the YouTube chat says this is my favorite part of the episode. I would say this is my second favorite part. And there's a couple reasons why. This is great. Don't get me wrong. But I would say, and Marie and I were talking about it during the episode, we're like, man, this episode's really light on action. And then the last 10 minutes happen, and it is just holy shit. It blew up. I would say this is the scene where the Red Witch shows up, and she starts talking to Dany about Jon Snow, basically.
Yeah, but see, she's another one who shows up and immediately opens up with how she was a slave when she was growing up. Same thing.
Oh, yeah, no. Trust me. I think they know how to play her. I think that has absolutely been established. I would agree that she knows what she's doing.
But does that mean that's not the truth?
No. It's not saying it's not the truth, but the problem with Game of Thrones is you become weary of everybody, and especially like characters like Varys or her, because it's like they've already been very...
Double crossing?
Right. Yeah, that's the way to say it. Here, let's play just a little bit of audio of this exchange.
Not yet. But even those who don't worship the Lord can serve his cause.
Ooh. What does your Lord expect from me?
Bosses bantis amazis.
The long night is coming. Dolalaris. Only the prince was contas. Promised can
the bring prince
the
who is promised will bring the dawn. I'm afraid I'm not a prince.
Your Grace.
Don't assume my gender.
Me, but your translation
exactly.
This is 2017.
Accurate.
I'll assume whatever I want to assume.
There's no gender in High Valyrian, so the proper translation for that prophecy would be the prince or princess who was promised will bring the dawn.
Doesn't really roll off the tongue, does it?
No, but I like it better.
Yeah, of course you would.
Yeah.
And you believe this prophecy refers to me?
Prophecies are dangerous things. I believe you have a role to play.
Tell me more about my
as
prophecy.
As does another. The king in the north.
It's like she's filling out a Cosmo quiz.
So she tells him
about... She's read Harry Potter once.
Tells him about Jon Snow. And something really interesting about this
which
conversation...
Which house would Daenerys be sorted in?
This conversation...
the Gryffindor?
Most likely.
I think it's pretty interesting here that... that a couple things. Dany at the end of this says, Jon Snow, tell him to come bend the knee to the queen. And I think we've established that Jon Snow doesn't really give a fuck about bending the knee. He's just really genuinely worried about all the White Walkers.
Everyone dying?
Yeah, I don't think he gives a fuck.
Yeah, I think he will because he doesn't give a fuck.
Right. I think he's like, yeah, I'll bend the knee, whatever. Can we just fucking stop the monsters for the love of God?
He doesn't even want to be king. He doesn't want the leadership. He just doesn't want to die.
Right. Let's play just a little bit more.
Judge of character. If he does rule the North, he would make a valuable ally. The Lannisters executed his father and conspired to murder his brother. Jon Snow has even more reason to hate Cersei than you do.
It's true.
It is. I would agree.
Very well. Send a raven north. Tell Jon Snow that his queen invites him to come to Dragonstone. And bend the knee.
I can't believe how many important conversations have to happen via bird.
By the way, let's just bend the knee. And then obviously the letter does not say that when he gets to Jon Snow. He's like, hey, dude, what's up, bro? Remember we used to hang out, man? So anyway, you should totes come out and hang out with us.
Just like on one knee, though.
Right. Oh, here it is.
Bastards in their father's eyes. What does that mean?
It's so something he said Tyrion, to me the first night we met.
Tyrion's the one that's reaching out to Sansa because, remember, they used to be married.
That's right.
What do you think?
Tyrion's not like the other Lannisters. He was always kind to me, but it's too great a risk. The Seven Kingdoms will bleed as long as Cersei sits on the Iron Throne. Join us. Together we can end her tyranny.
Hey, remember how much you hated Cersei?
Like,
will you want to do something about that?
The casual mention of a Dothraki horde, a legion of Unsullied, and three dragons. A bit less charming.
Dothraki horde? What?
Oh. I feel like you should lead with the three dragons.
Right, like I was saying the same thing during the episode. I'm like, the dragon should be like
the most important thing.
Not the Dothraki horde, whatever, I don't care. But come on, focus on the dragons.
Like, all right, you got a group of guys that don't have balls. That's fair. But three dragons, that can do a lot of damage.
By the way, not a great thought process with the Unsullied. You're taking a testosterone away. I can't imagine that makes them tougher fighters.
But it makes them obey.
You know, I guess it does.
Pros and cons, Royce. You're not going to have a winning... You can have testosterone-filled dudes that are going to say, this is bullshit. Or you can have guys that still have the muscle mass of a man with the loyalty of a woman.
Now, Dennis, now you have Cersei speaking to this dude. Who's she speaking to? This guy here.
Oh, House of Tally.
Yes, there he is.
Lord Tally.
Thank you.
This is how Olenna Tyrell rewards centuries of service and loyalty.
So Cersei is just grasping at straws at this point.
I wouldn't say grasping at straws, but I mean, I get what you're saying, but I think Cersei's is still really arrogant. I don't think she realizes the situation that she's in.
No, reality has definitely not sunken in.
You know what I mean? I think that
she's
Cersei's
a wolf
is,
that's backed into a corner right now.
Right, and
she's trying to build the wall and have Mexicans pay for it. Basically, that's what she's doing.
Yeah, basically that's what's happening, and everyone's like, "Well, what the fuck? What do you want?" You know,
is she tweeting five paragraph prophecies tweet by tweet? Like
pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Well, at least we know Daenerys is comfortable with having transgenders in her army, so, you know, we know.
You know what people call her in the streets? Cheeto head.
Daenerys is totally the Bernie Sanders, and Cersei is totally Trump.
Yeah.
I will agree with that.
So now you have Jamie corners Tally over here, and let's see. I like this scene.
Don't forget to bring a Tally.
All right.
I believe you know my son.
So, Jamie. Rickard, isn't it? Dick on. That's it.
Get your dick on.
Thank you for coming. The other lords of the Reach look to you.
His name is Dick on Tally?
Mm-hmm.
Dick on Tally.
Mm-hmm. Mark Mikko in the chat says, the Northern are still skeptical about White Walker. Only Jon and her understand what type of danger they're facing. Yeah, I know. I understand that. Trust me, Marco. I agree 100%. I think that's why John's not going to have any fucking problem bending a knee. I think he's going to go. He's going to bend the knee. He's going to be like, yeah, whatever. Listen, dude, I'll bend the knee. I'll do a handstand. I don't give a shit. Listen, we have fucking White Walkers. I need...
Do you understand? They are the un-fucking dead. They don't care. They have all the time in the world. You can fight all your stupid little fights. Yeah. You can have all your stupid little Game of Thrones wars.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, these motherfuckers up north are going to just walk right over this wall.
Because Jon Snow...
Like Mexicans, like Canadian Mexicans.
The one thing
take
I would,
our jobs.
The one thing I would say about Jon Snow is he has been very consistent. Like, he's like, yeah, whatever. I don't even want to be king. He even says that earlier. Like, I don't even want this.
He's
like,
the opposite of Simba.
Yeah. Here's a little bit more of Jaime and Tally.
I've known Olenna since I was a child. She was a great woman once. Now she's broken. She wants revenge.
He was
so
talking about the time he was fucking
Dothraki's
her.
Yeah. Yours, the Dothraki in Westeros for the first time in history.
The Dothraki are the Mexicans,
okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. Well, no. At that point, it sounds like he's talking about slaves. It sounds like he's the South. He's like the just the Dothraki and our land. I dare
really
say
those people moving into our neighborhood.
They're going to lower the property value.
That is the kind of way they're talking about Dothraki. Like, Dothraki in this neighborhood?
In Westeros? Yeah. I mean, I understood the South. It's warm down there.
Like, I don't hate them. I got a friend who's Dothraki.
Exactly. Like,
dude, I have this cousin who's friends with his other cousin who's totally, like, a full-blown Dothraki.
So, right here, now we have, what's-his-face, Stone Man. God damn it, I always forget his name. Jorah the Explorer is talking to the dude at the library, I guess.
I call him Professor Slughorn from Harry Potter.
Professor Slughorn. He's talking to Professor Slughorn about his stone disease. And let's play a little bit of that because I thought it was interesting. Because Sam listens to it and he does whatever the fuck he wants. And that scene was hard to watch. But
I have to say, Jorah looks super chiseled right now.
Yeah,
wink, wink.
Yeah, he definitely does. He looks kind of stoned. Get it?
He needs to, you know, get rid of that whole, like, outer shell, you
Marco
know?
Has a good point. Well put by Jamie. Bring up race faction. Exactly what we're saying. Like, it was like, do you really want the Dothraki here? I mean, they don't even cut their hair. Like, it was such a fucking move.
What do
it
they
was smart. It was
what,
smart.
What do they do at gala season?
Yeah, exactly.
Do they just skip it?
They just skip gala season.
Kimmy Schmidt reference.
Yes. I mean, they dance good, but...
Yeah, so basically, they're basically here and telling Jorah, like, dude, you're fucking fucked. Here we go.
You're going to die.
Were you a commoner, I'd have you shipped to Valyria at once to live out your life with the Stone Men. As an anointed knight, I'll allow you one more day. How you choose to spend that time is up to you.
He's like,
motions to the sword because he's basically like, well, yeah, you can go live with the Stone Men forever, or you can kill yourself.
Hey, what's up, Mitch? Yeah, exactly.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Mitch.
And by the way, he does look over at the sword like, well, I guess that made the decision really simple.
This turned into 13 Reasons Why really quickly.
Yeah, seriously. It was fast. By the way, Game of Thrones every single season has to win an Emmy for their makeup because it is probably... some of the best on TV. It is done so well. The stone stuff is done so well. That scene where they're cutting the skin, we're not there yet, but it was so done to where I couldn't look at it.
That's
it was rough.
So disgusting. And I got squeamish. I don't normally get squeamish. We're like, oh my God,
but
no.
But that one was rough.
Did you notice the awesome scene cutaways, though, from that right into some asshole eating
yes.
clam at a bar?
I hated that so much. Like, no, why did you do that?
We'll get to it in a second.
Right now you have Cersei's talking to what's-his-face about, like, how the fuck are we supposed to beat a dragon? The answer was, I thought it was going to be
something... How do you solve a problem like Maria?
Exactly. And I thought the answer was going to be something a little more magical, but it was just like, oh, yeah, we just make a bigger bow and arrow. That's basically what the answer was. It was like, so here's what we're going to do. Like, you know how dragons are big? We've had our engineers working on this for years. So you know how we have a bow and arrow? We were like, bro,
yeah.
What if we make a really big bow and arrow? And don't
hey,
get me
but
wrong.
That doesn't work last night. What are we going to do? Build a bigger one?
No, dude. Even bigger than that.
Mark Mako says, hey, by the way, you guys are awesome. Discuss direct from the show. I like it. Yeah, we've done it different ways, but we find it a little bit easier just to look at the show and talk about it because
it keeps us on track.
So much happens that it's really difficult to stay on track, we found. And don't get me wrong, it was impressive, the big, I guess, I don't want to call it a bow and arrow, what would you call it, a big crossbow? Like, I don't even know what you would call it, right?
It's like a mini ballista.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, I get it, but I'm just telling Marie, like, that's easy because that big dragon skull is like sitting on the floor. You're trying to hit a moving dragon that's flying around. You know what I mean?
And also, you fucking dumbass, you just shot an arrow into a dragon skull. Like, you can't replace that easily. You can't fix it up.
Yeah.
Well, Why didn't you shoot it into the wall or something?
I got mad at a different reason than all of you. I was actually saying, dragon bone isn't the thing that's impenetrable. It's dragon scales that's impenetrable.
That's what I was thinking,
too.
There's
no fucking skin on that. Like, it's been decaying for years, and you shoot a giant arrow directly point blank in front of it, and it breaks the bone, and you're supposed to be impressed?
I was thinking the same exact thing. I was like, wouldn't the scales have something to say about it? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I play a lot of Skyrim, but even in Skyrim, you can make, like, a dragon scale, like, armor. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's never dragon bone. Yeah.
Bigger crossbow.
Yeah, a really big. It's like, that's not saying, hey, so, like, but they didn't even try. Like, they were cramming. Like, they went down to the case, so you have a solution for the dragon? Yeah, so, we're thinking, like, a really big point arrow? That like, we have normal one. How about a big one? Now we're back at Dani here. She's sitting at her war room, and this scene, I think we'll pay a little bit of it. I think it was pretty interesting.
Unless they fear you.
I'm grateful to you, Lady Elena, for your counsel. I'm grateful to all of you. But you have chosen to follow me. I will not attack King's Landing. We will not attack King's Landing.
Then how do you mean to take the Iron Throne? By asking nicely?
We will lay siege to the capital surrounding the city on all sides. Cersei will have the Iron Throne, but no food for her army or the people.
But we won't use Dothraki and Unsullied. Cersei will try to rally the lords of Westeros by appealing to their loyalty, their love for their country. If we besiege the city with foreigners, we prove her point. Our army should be Westerosi.
And I suppose we are providing the Westerosi.
You are. Lady Greyjoy will escort you home to Sunspear. And her Iron Fleet will ferry the Dornish army back up to King's Landing. The Dornish will lay siege to the capital, alongside the Tyrell army, two great kingdoms united against Cersei.
So, your master plan is to use our armies. Forgive me for asking, but why did you bother to bring your own?
The Unsullied will have another objective. For decades, House Lannister has been the true power in Westeros. And the seat of that power is Casterly Rock.
That's right. For the
rock. Can I say,
fucking burn the money pit?
That Peter Dinklage deserves absolutely every award he gets.
Ever.
He is a fucking amazing,
unstoppable
actor.
What about Heisman?
Dude, look. This show is stock full of really, really good actors. And again, I recognize, and I was Maria was talking about it, like, British actors are very, there's a small pool of them. Like,
small talented pool.
So you see a lot of reviews. Like, if you watch Doctor Who or Harry Potter,
you've seen them all.
You've seen every British actor. But man, Peter Dinklage, you have people out there remember, this guy's from New Jersey. He's not British. He's not a Shakespearean actor. He's really, really good.
And I watched an interview with him. He was speaking at a college or something like that. Mm. He didn't get into acting until he was 29.
Oh, yeah,
wow. Like, I read that too. He just decided out of the blue, like, I've always wanted to do this, but I was selling insurance or some shit. I'm like, I need to change a pace. And he just decided one day to quit his job,
right,
and just start full time taking any acting gig he could possibly get.
I thought that was really good.
So would
good
you
too.
Say changing the profession for him was a tall order?
And now you have OG lady schooling Danny. I thought this was great.
Here. You know why? I ignored them. The lords of Westeros are sheep. Are you a sheep?
Gutsy question. No. You're a shark.
You're a dragon.
Oh, dragon. Sorry.
Be a dragon.
Guys, you're my species.
By the way, though, great line. You're a dragon, be a dragon, I thought was awesome.
I wish that Dernies would have gotten up and then started flapping her arms up and down and then cawing like a dragon.
Want to point something out. Game of Thrones... Again, I don't read the books. I know Marie has heard the audiobook of the first one. Marcia's been reading all of them, and we have different people that. But at least in the HBO show, they do a really, really good job of writing powerful women. This is how you do it. If you want how you write powerful women, this Cersei is one of the fucking scariest people on the show.
Yeah.
She terrifies me.
Well, her mixed with Grandma Tyrell over here. Yeah. I love those two against each other.
Yeah.
That was powerful woman at its finest.
Now you have Unsullied sex scene here, which I thought was absolutely
disappointing.
No, shut up. It was the, I have to say that we haven't got to it yet, but this sex scene is probably the best sex scene I've seen on TV because it's real, it's raw, and it's emotional.
Yeah, I thought it was
great.
It's
not just, hey, you're hot, let's fuck. It wasn't anything like that. It was like these two have been building up to this for three seasons.
And they, and I'm just, at least they didn't scissor. But remember, he's a eunuch, so he does have a penis. He doesn't have balls. I looked
that
it up.
That is what I'm saying.
I had to look it
Melisandre up, Melisandre has the hottest body in America, and I'm always appreciative.
Oh, my God.
I'm always appreciative to see her titties.
She really
I'm
is
I'm always appreciative
very
of
attractive.
The full frontal. But I have been curious about what the Unsullied
bi-curious.
Penis... I have been bi-curious about what the Unsullied penis looks like for seven fucking seasons. And they we finally get an opportunity to see a naked Unsullied, and they fucking don't show the cut-off balls. I need to see where the balls are cut.
Look, I understand. I think everybody out of morbid curiosity wants to understand that. But by the way, the writing in the scene was great. I thought... let's play a little bit of it. I thought
Game of Thrones has never shied away from full frontal
Let's play
nudity.
A little bit. Let's play a bit.
That's all I'm saying.
I do too.
She is so attractive, by the way. She may have one of the best bodies on
what
the show.
What does she look like without her hair being in a perm
it
like
doesn't
that?
Matter.
I know
it
she
even
doesn't
looks,
use
it.
It
even looks great like that, I think, anyway. And by the way, yeah, Marco says, you know what that means? One of them's going to die. Yeah, everyone's been saying that. The moment anyone's happy together, one of them's going out.
Or both.
No, I don't think both. I think it's going to be, what's his face, the Unsullied. I think it's going to be him. I think he's going to go because, I mean, that's the highest opportunity. By the way, this scene here, look, she is absolutely
so hot.
So attractive. And by the way, I apologize, YouTube, but I do have the video edited purposely so you don't see nudity because we don't want to get kicked off of YouTube. But I'm sure you've seen the episode and you know what I'm talking about.
Her name is Nathalie Emanuel,
yes.
Or Natalie, and it looks like she has naturally curly hair.
Oh, I'm sure it's naturally curly.
Well,
but
I guess it's not edited.
The slave look just seems a little... A little on 2007. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and by the way, again,
seems more 1980s.
My only critique of the Unsullied is always like you're taking their testosterone away from when they're babies, so it's not, you know. Yeah, and oh, Frozen Asian and the more like radio chat says I was confused. Can a dude get it up without his balls? Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. That's what I was wondering if they were gonna they're
again,
gonna say
why I wanted to see it.
I looked it up, and it's like they can possibly get erections, but they may have trouble holding it.
Hi, Tina Parrish in the Facebook chat. Thanks
but I'm
for
so
listening.
Like, but it still has to feel good to get your pee-pee touched. Yeah.
They're
regardless.
Both. By the way, they're both very attractive. This guy's butt's really nice here too. They show it. To be fair, because you know we're talking about her, but he's a good-looking dude. Good-looking dude as well. And the sex scene was, we were all wondering, like, that was one of the most in bated breath. Like, is he going to bang her? Is he going to go down? And you realize he ends up going down on her, which makes sense. You know, I mean, I get it. But
he's on the top of her right now. Like, he's going to put it in.
I was just, like, okay, I'm sorry. I was just really, really excited to finally see this happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't normally get chubs in sex scenes, but for some reason, this one really turned me on.
Yeah. We could play a little bit here. It is playing underneath, but...
Nips.
You can't moan like that, girl. You're too attractive. Come on. Oh, he's going down on her. There he goes. There he goes. And he is... And then they switch to the other scene.
And then nothing. We've seen so much worse sex scenes, and that's all we get out of this one?
I know. Marie was really disappointed. I got to be honest. Marie really wanted to see more about this.
I wanted to watch the whole thing.
She maybe have one of the most attractive bodies on the show.
Dude, it's easily. Banging.
It's very, very
easily.
Good. So then we move back over to Sam, and he's hanging out with, what did you like to call him, Marie, from Harry Potter?
Oh, Professor Slughorn.
Professor Slughorn from Harry Potter. And they're having a conversation. This is what I was talking about with her. He's the narrator.
You don't like the title? What would you call it then?
Possibly something a bit more poetic.
A Story of Fire and Ice, for example.
Archmaster, if I could just have a moment.
This is your moment. Use it wisely.
I think George R.R. himself entered the story as Sam.
You know, you may be right, because now that you, Jesus Christ, Dennis, you just blew
my
mind.
I mean, J.R.R. Martin is a short, chubby guy.
You might be fucking right, dude. You might blew my mind, because if the rumor is that Sam is a narrator, then wouldn't it stand to reason that he would write himself as this character, and he's a bigger dude, beard, you know what I mean?
Doesn't really fit in with the rest of everyone else.
I think you might have nailed it right on the head. That was very, very good observation. I didn't even think about that, but that does make sense. What is this here? Oh, he's writing a...
Jorah the
Explorer is writing a letter to...
the Khaleesi's.
To Danny. That basically his suicide note.
Dear my beloved Khaleesi's, you now, hate me, but I love you.
The fucking Jorah the friend zone over here. I feel so bad for him, dude.
He's like writing a song, My Khaleesi.
My Khaleesi.
My Khaleesi.
By the way, even though we're making fun of it, this is still one of the best shows on television. Now you have Sam walking in on Jorah and saying, look, no one else is going to do it because Professor whatever his face from Harry Potter said you shouldn't do this stone removal.
Which makes sense, because Professor Slughorn in Harry Potter was pretty much a fake anyways.
Right.
So
this scene, and we were talking about it before, man, again, they're making people need an award for this scene, because it was really hard to watch, and we have to go through it again. I thought the scene last week of Sam going through all the poop was hard to watch, but this is...
Yeah, they're giving Sam the grossest scenes this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I think here he tells him, oh, drink the rum.
Yeah, just chug a whole lot of rum, because you
this
have
is gonna
to not.
Hurt.
Should we
you,
play a little bit?
He was saying, like, please don't scream. Please don't scream. Please don't scream. Just bite down on this leather bootstrap and drink a whole lot of rum. I'm going to have to cut your skin off. So bear with me for a second.
Yeah. Oh, God, here we go. This scene is rough, man.
The thing is, the grayscale already looks infected
and sore and
swollen and red and puffy and just oozing.
By the way, I'm going to say it. Better than Walking Dead game makeup crew, I think.
Yeah, this is one of the grosser things I've ever seen. And
well, you can make dead people look dead, but to make a live person look like this
stone is
totally
rough.
Different.
Well, stone, but also pussing.
Dude, oh my God. It's so hard to watch.
It's like pus and stone.
It's rough, man.
It's skin, but it's not.
So was it supposed to be kind of like a mixture of like leprosy and something else? Or?
And by the way, I love Sam's face.
Yes, I think so.
Marco in the YouTube chat says, Mark, Sam's face, you done this before? LOL. Like, it's good. He says, Sam's like, yeah, no, but no. Whatevs, bro. Okay, here it is. Here it is. Here it is.
The fact that he's using the tweezers and the pinching of it.
And the sound.
Like,
the sound of
it kind of just looked like it was one cell piece until he used the tweezers on it. And then you realize, oh, these are all just little, like, corpuscles.
Frozen Asian says, as soon as I saw the pus coming from the scales, I had to fast forward. What I did was bury my face into his pillow and tell me when it's done. Tell me when it's done. Here it comes. There's the pus. Oh,
it's awful.
I won't fast forward, but I will try to look away.
Dr. Pimple Popper should get this scene.
This is definitely a Dr. Pimple Popper.
MD over here, Sam Waltarly. Oh, it's just so gooey. Like, why? Come on. And then the first thing I thought of is, oh, my God, he's going to cut off his nipple.
Why is it the first thing you think
of? I don't know, because it was near the nipple, and I'm like, oh, he's going to cut his nipple off, and then he's never going to grow a normal nipple again.
And there's no blood, like you said. It was all this weird...
This is what got me right here.
Yeah, it was this weird... Oh, I can't!
And then it cuts straight to a bread pie.
Eating a bread pudding.
Mashed potatoes or something.
like a
chicken pot pie.
Chicken pot pie or something.
And then he puts it in his mouth.
And I told Marie, these motherfuckers are doing this on purpose.
That was almost Fargo-esque of a cutscene.
So, one more round. So here we have Arya. She goes back to the... to the pub that she was at. How many seasons ago? Dennis, do you remember what season it was? When she was hanging out with Fatty?
God, it was the end of third, I think.
Yeah, so it's been at least four seasons she was hanging out with, I forget his name, but Fatty over here. And she's having a conversation, and boy, has she changed since last time she was there.
Fun fact, the actor that plays Fatty Boombalotti in this
scene. This is a good
He actually opened up a hot pie bakery that sells real-life dire wolf bread.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, hot pie from Game of Thrones reappeared recently in season 7 and has now opened up a bakery selling dire wolf bread. Ben Hawkey, who plays Hot Pie, has decided to call his new bakery venture You Know Nothing John Doe.
Oh!
D-O-U-G-H.
That is good. I'm going to give him props. That's good. That's a good name.
Yep. Open exclusively through Deliveroo on the same weekend as the new season's premiere. Direwolf Bread is a direct reference to the Direwolf Bread he baked for Arya before they parted ways. Although it wasn't entirely presentable, he got better at it, giving one of much better quality to Brienne later in the series. Recently, Hot Pie and Arya reunited, which is where he went on about some of his baking techniques.
Marco in the YouTube chat says, do you guys notice Arya's acting more like the Hound? Yeah, I said that during the episode to Maria. I'm like, dude, that's what she's turning into the Hound. Like, even the way she eats, the way she's that weird, like, fucking 1,000-yard stare she's got going. You know what I mean?
Yep.
She is absolutely acting way more like the Hound.
She's seen some shit.
So let's play a little bit of this conversation here.
What? Jon Snow came down from Castle Black with a Wilding army and won the Battle of the Bastards. He's King of the North now.
You're lying.
Why would I lie about that? He's your brother, right?
Yeah.
Thanks for the pie.
Friends don't pay. Can't believe I thought you were a boy.
He's so nice.
You're pretty.
Oh, he wants to bang her.
Thanks.
I mean, I wouldn't say that's what he said.
Take care of yourself, Hot Pie. Try not to get killed.
No, I won't. I'm like you, Harry. I'm a survivor.
And then Frozen Agent says, after talking about being a survivor, Hot Pie's going to die. I'm like, that's what I'm saying, the same thing. I'm like, dude, don't say that. You're going to die.
Don't jinx yourself, dude.
Why? All right, let's we have Arya leaving here, and I think this scene is this right after here where she meets Nymeria again, or are we?
No, it's before.
There yet? It's okay. So no, my point is
this is right before.
Right before. Okay, because I'm trying to remember what happens next year. But it is nice to see her going back. And man, has her character evolved? They did a really good job. George R. R. Martin did a really good job of developing her character. Like she is. Come a long way from like needle in the castle and, you know,
what do we tell the god of death,
all that shit, but
she's grown up into a young woman,
right? So now we're back here with Jon Snow. He's at the castle, and right now he still hasn't decided whether or not he's gonna go to over to Dragonstone. And this is the scene here, so this scene I think is really, really important, so let's play a little bit of it.
He's discovered proof that Dragonstone sits on a mountain of dragonglass.
Who would have saw that coming?
Yeah, that made sense, right?
Seems pretty obvious right now.
I received this a few days ago from Dragonstone.
Yes. It's a dick pic.
It was sent to me by Tyrion Lannister. Pic. He is now Hand of the Queen to Daenerys Targaryen. She intends to take the Iron Throne from Cersei Lannister. She has a powerful army at her back, and if this message is to be believed, three dragons. Lord Tyrion has invited me to Dragonstone to meet with Daenerys. And I'm going to accept.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
We know that dragonglass can destroy both White Walkers and their army. We need to mine it and turn it into weapons. But more importantly, we need allies. The Night King's army grows
large. What do you think Littlefinger's thinking right about now?
Probably how I can manipulate this.
I want to fuck Sansa. How can I do that?
I need a drink.
And how can I manipulate this to my advantage?
So I want to fuck Sansa, I want to drink, and I want to fuck the situation up.
So Davos and I will ride for White Harbor tomorrow, then sail for Dragonstone.
Have you forgotten what happened to our grandfather? The Mad King invited him to King's Landing and roasted him alive.
I am sick of Sansa calling her out in public. Can't she be like, call him out in private?
The North is one of those seven kingdoms. This isn't an invitation. It's a trap.
It could be.
It's a trap!
But I don't believe Tyrion would do that. You know him. He's a good man.
Your Grace, with respect, I must agree with Lady Sansa. I remember the Mad King all too well. A Targaryen cannot be trusted.
Shut up, Sir Royce.
Nor can a Lannister.
We called your brother king.
And then he rode south and lost his kingdom.
That's great. Can you clear your throat before you talk to me?
We need the king
I love
the
north her.
In the north.
How is she the one with the biggest balls in this room?
She's the best.
The Mormons are amazing.
You all crowned me your king.
I didn't ask for it.
I never wanted it.
He never did.
It's true.
I never asked for it. But
which
I accepted
great.
It. Because the North is my home. It's part of me, and I will never stop fighting for it, no matter the odds.
Anyone else thinks Jon Snow is beginning to look like Alec Baldwin from The Shadow?
A little bit, I would agree.
None of you have seen the Army of the Dead. None of you.
I'm really sick of him throwing that at everyone's face.
I know, like, okay, Jon Snow, we would have gone to the North with you.
We didn't know they were there, dude.
We get it. You're the big old hero. We're all the dum-dums.
But again,
I have to take.
I like Jon Snow. I really do. But I think sometimes he's a little ignorant. You know what I mean?
You're being ignorant.
Convince her to help us. It has to be me.
You're abandoning your people. You're abandoning your home.
Why would you call the king out like that?
Whose?
Yours.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
You're the only Stark in Winter.
Oh, my great idea.
As soon as he said, hey, you can take charge, Sansa, she's like, all right, bye, Felicia. Like, that was the immediate reaction, was like, all right, later, ho. Like, all right, travel safe. See ya. All right, call me when you get there. Send a raven when you arrive.
She rolls out the red carpet for him to leave.
And that made Littlefinger crazy. And Frozen Asian brought something up, and the scene's coming up right now. The don't you dare touch my sister moment that Jon Snow had Littlefinger was great. Because, again, I think Jon Snow makes up for his pussy moments like he has sometimes when he does stuff like this. And I
when
think
he's all
scene,
like, dude, you ain't good enough for my sister.
So
and I'm a
Snow.
Fucking bastard, so you know we're only halvesies.
I was sorry when he died.
This is what I was saying earlier. I mean, Littlefinger's supposed to be this great master manipulator, yeah. And he says this to him?
It's the worst thing.
I just want to know, why does he have a statue of Ned Stark at Castle Black?
I was thinking that, too.
She vastly underestimated you.
Like, do they have statues of all the other hands of the king? Or
yes.
Because Ned wasn't the king. He was never, like, anything
Wait, I thought they
big.
Were in Winterfell, not Castle Black.
I mean, he was the lord of Winterfell, but they're at Castle Black right now, aren't they?
I thought they were in Winterfell.
Yeah, they're in Winterfell.
I thought this is their home.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I thought they were in Winterfell.
That's his grave. That's his tribute.
Nothing to say to you.
Not even thank you.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. Here's what you're talking about, Frozen Asian.
Uh-oh. Your pride's getting in the way.
But I swear to you, I'm not one of them. I love Sansa. As I loved her mother.
Yeah, I wanted to fuck your mother, and I also wanted to fuck your sister.
The funny thing is, that's not Jon's mom that he's talking about. And Jon still... Caitlyn hated Jon Snow, and Jon Snow's defending Caitlyn right about now.
Right. And yeah, Marco says, Castle Black, yeah, we called him out. Don't worry, Marco, we got him. He was wrong. Mitch was wrong. Yeah, when he was like, don't fucking talk to my sister, don't touch my sister, I will fucking kill your face. I thought that was... Again, Jon Snow has really good redeeming moments like that where he genuinely...
See, this is why this scene right here, the outside, that's why I thought it was Castle Black because it's very similar looking.
Well, it's all depressing.
I think it looks similar because it's snowing everywhere now. You know what I mean?
That's true.
I think that's
it's
what it
Jon
is.
Jon snowing everywhere now.
I think you're right.
Nah, he's coming all over the
place. Winter has come?
I think Littlefinger's going to take advantage of the situation. I feel Littlefinger is going to try to manipulate Sansa in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, he's going to talk her ear off.
Littlefinger isn't just in Winterfell to hang out on the side of the great dining hall every time that they have a meeting. So he's there to do something.
And now to ask why he did to answer why he did this, Marco in the Facebook chat and the YouTube chat says, I feel like Littlefinger wanted to know where Jon Snow stood. I think he was kind of feeling it out. You know what I mean? Kind of like,
you cool with me raping your sister?
Yeah, I don't know if that was the exact, but yeah. So here's a scene here. The next scene that we're up here is we have Arya with Nymeria shows up with her fucking crew,
right,
by the way.
But right now, Arya is by herself. And my theory, and I like doing theories, so you guys tell me what you think, is she's on her way to Winterfell to meet up with Jon Snow and Sansa, but she does not know right now that Jon Snow is leaving Winterfell and going south. So I think Jon Snow is going to bump into her as she's going north and he's going south.
You think?
And
I don't know, man. I mean, that's a pretty big area for that to happen.
Well,
you know?
Is my guess because...
But there's only one rope.
Arya always loved Jon Snow and no one else. She always felt like an outsider. Sansa always made fun of her. She didn't like Sansa. She loved Jon Snow. She would follow Jon Snow to the end of the earth. So if Jon Snow's going south to do some business, she would much rather go with Jon than hang out with Sansa back in Winterfell.
Right.
When the only person there that she knows is Sansa.
Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying.
Later after this season, after this scene.
Yeah. So in this scene here, and there really isn't much. I didn't even have much audio to play because she basically is. She pulls Needle out, which is nice to see Needle again. And she's talking to Nymeria with her crew, and we can play, I guess, a little bit. By the way, scary as fuck.
Well, yeah, that direwolf is huge.
She puts the sword down.
Nymeria, it's me. Arya. I'm heading north, girl.
At this point, you realize that Nymeria recognizes Arya. The breathing slows down.
Yeah,
she starts smiling.
She stops showing her teeth.
Yeah.
And now this scene, I think, is a scene where Nymeria realizes that they both changed, that they both have their own...
Come with me.
Arya is not the same as she was the last time she saw her. When's the last time she saw Nymeria? What season? Do
season
we remember?
One.
Season
or
one.
Season one.
Season one, right?
I told her to run away.
At this point, Arya realizes, I'm an independent woman who don't need no man.
Or no direwolf, for that matter.
And her direwolf learned from her, and now her direwolf is a strong, independent woman who don't need no man.
I think that's fair. I think it's a bittersweet moment. I think it's a moment where they both realize they don't need each other, but
right.
I think Nymeria
realizes. Well, because right now...
I think Nymeria's going to show up and she's rolling with all these people. I think when it comes to White Walker time, Nymeria's going to come to Arya's defense.
Yeah.
I really believe
that. Arya has this transformation...
Probably
going to
die, but yes, come to her defense.
Arya was at first hurt that Nymeria didn't come with her, and then she realized she's just like me. That's exactly what I would have done.
Yeah, because she had the little smile. Actually, you're
that
right.
That little smirk.
That smirk. So now we're with
the Dornish assassins.
Correct. The what's their names? God damn it!
The Sand Snakes.
The Sand Snakes. Yes.
Yara and Ilaria.
Yes, thank you so
the
much.
The hot chick from Iron Fist.
Yes.
And they're all in boats. Hammocks in the base of a boat.
Yeah, so they're talking about Mama.
They're just ragging on each other like fucking soldiers would.
Yeah, I thought this was great.
Funny.
I thought this is very what people would do, just cooped up in a boat. And then you have What's-Her-Face, Queen of Dorne and Reek, are talking to help me out here with the name.
Thorvald Dyke.
Yeah, but what's her
Help
name?
Help me out here, Midge.
Yara.
Sorry. I apologize. I'm trying to keep up. Yara, and we think there's going to be a lesbo sex scene. And I will say, I am very, very happy that the action happened here, but I am very, very sad that
the action didn't happen.
That the action didn't happen, because I would have loved to see them go at it.
It was really cut short.
Yeah, it was. We'll get a little bit of that audio.
It's fine.
Now, see, this is lesbo action that you really want to see, because both of those women are hungry.
The Iron Islands. Once I kill my uncle, and what will you be, handsome?
Whatever my queen commands.
You'll be my advisor. My protector.
Oh, I see.
Not your protector, bro.
Protector.
So if someone gets too close to you, you might have to intervene to hold that person back until they've made their intentions known.
She rubs on the boot like you feel anything through the boot.
A foreign invasion.
Shit like that bothers me. Little shit like that, like, you're gonna stroke the boot? But then she just pushed the leg aside, and I was like, oh, okay. Okay.
By the way, she could do better than she could do way better than Yana. Now, this scene here I did not see coming. And again,
Did anyone see this coming?
No. We were talking at the beginning of the episode. We were like, you know, man, I was thinking when we were talking to Marie when we were watching, we're like, well, and these happen. This is a setup episode, but hell no. Marie was screaming at me, go, oh my God, it turned into a pirate episode.
I'm like, this is like Pirates of the Caribbean.
So, OG Greyjoy shows up with his 1,000 chips. Well, not 1,000, but he shows up with enough. And this action scene was amazing. Now, I do want to address some people were complaining. I was watching on Twitter when it was going on and even afterwards saying that the scene was hard to follow. It was hard to follow who was fighting who. I didn't have that problem. Did you have that problem, Marie?
No, I pretty much got that. No, What's-Her-Face and Reek were getting their asses handed to them.
I didn't have that problem, but some people are saying they did. I followed it pretty well.
No, it was pretty easy. It's like the people from the Iron Islands fighting each other because they have their alliances towards Yara versus towards OG Greyjoy, whatever his name
is. Right, I call him OG Greyjoy. I love him. He's amazing. What's his name, Dennis?
I don't know how.
That's a rough one.
Yaren?
No, the other one.
Euron.
I apologize. We do pretty good with names, but the problem is there's so many of them. It's hard to keep up in one episode. You know what I mean? Like, it's rough. So now you see the sand snakes fighting, which I think was always great. She throws a fucking spear in a dude's face, which is fucking crazy. This scene was fucking bananas. I loved it. Thank you, Euron. Thank you, Marco. Yeah, we got it. This scene was bananas. I never thought, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, because I didn't read the books. I know other people did. When I started watching Game of Thrones, that I was going to get one of the coolest pirate fights I would ever see in my life.
No one would have ever thought that.
Did anybody else think that besides me? Because I was like, holy shit, this is amazing.
It's a fucking firefight. It's a fucking knife fight. It's an arrow fight. It's cannons. It's the whole works. Oh, my God.
And a swimming competition.
Yeah. So right here, Yara realizes that her world's falling apart, and she just starts fucking wrecking dudes. She goes, and she realizes Euron is just fucking wrecking shit as well. One of the sand snakes grabs him with a whip and starts fighting him, and he takes out two of the sand snakes by himself. And by
the
way,
In this scene, I told Sherry, I'm like, well, it's a good thing that she has a part in the Defenders now because she's out of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's a very good point. But my point is like, you realize the Sand Snakes are really good fighters, and for Euron to take two of them out
just like that.
That is
like, I didn't give him the time of day as a fighter. I just thought he was a swashbuckling asshole.
Right, right.
No, this dude can fight in battle. He just showed up.
Yeah, he was not fucking messing around. I agree.
Like in the episode one where he was having that like left hipped. Jutted out swagger stance talking to Cersei and we were talking all that talk. I thought he didn't have anything to back up what he was saying and he was just a fucking asshole. But this guy knows how to fight. He not only has the command of a giant army of ships.
1,000.
Probably a couple might have burned after some
still
of those
a good amount.
So we'll say 995 ships.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm going to say maybe 5 of his ships went down. But he might have also claimed a couple of ships of the other. Well, I don't know. He might have just destroyed all of Theon and his sister's ships. So
Mercione says the more I thought about Theon, I liked his move. If he were to attack Euron, he would have killed one or both of the Greyjoys. Thus, Theon's move made sense.
Theon was a move of self-defense where he's like, well, my sister's already dead. I'm going to save myself and then have one more chance to get him again.
Yeah, because the way he had the axe to her throat, I agree. Like, what was his option? What was he?
That's
do?
Exactly what I agree with you. That's exactly what I thought Theon was doing. I think he was weighing out his options and realized I'm not going to get to my sister before my sister's throat is cut. So, a lot of people, and I posted in our chat room the Up Rocks article where they picked out some of the best tweets from Game of Thrones, the Stormborn reactions to this fight. And a lot of people were just like, well, that escalated quickly and that came out of nowhere. And, you know, a lot of memes like that. But,
oh, by the way, good time to plug it. Make sure you, if you're new to the show, if you want to follow us on Facebook, just search for Game of Thrones Wieners and Such Show.
Thank you.
That is the one of the easiest ways to follow up. We post different memes and different stuff we think of during the week. So we do the show once a week, but that's a good way to follow. Marie, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right.
Here's the scene. We have Theon here, and we were talking about it earlier, but here is a play that. Let's play a little bit of audio of this.
He's got the eye twitch going now.
Yeah,
he's looking
he does.
At sister. Sister's looking at him.
Yeah.
Sister's like, do something. Theon's like, I will save myself!
I regret nothing.
Yeah.
Apparently
Marco, and I'm assuming Marco reads the books, he says, Euron's ship is called the Silence. He cuts out the tongues of his entire crew.
Ooh.
Jesus Christ, he's brutal. So, yeah, Theon jumps off and he does the fucking Titanic move and just hangs onto a piece of driftwood.
Yeah. I'll never let go, Jack.
This scene was great. It was wonderful. And I think tactically, like in the morelikeradio.com/live chat, Mercione was saying, like, he had no other choice. The way he had her, I understand he's a coward. I understand what they were trying to do. But tactically, what choice did he have, right?
No, he was done.
Yeah. There was really
at
no
least this way. There's one survivor, so I get it.
Yeah,
somebody's got to be the messenger that goes back and says the battle was lost.
Now here's a question to you, unrelated to Theon. Does that fuck up Daenerys' plans?
A little bit.
Oh yeah, she lost a whole bunch of ships. Plus, she lost the Yara.
Yeah, that whole part. That whole portion of army is gone.
Because they were supposed to come into King's Landing from the seaside to lay siege while Olenna's army, the Tyrell army, was hitting it from the other.
Right.
So they basically took out half of their force into King's Landing.
Right. They took off their navy, and now they only have land battles on one side
so
of King's
Landing.
So she
needs a new sea armada, which means that does she use the Unsullied now?
I would assume she has to, right? I mean, what are her options?
Well, I mean, I don't know what's more important, to have three armies lay battle to King's Landing or to still have one army try to go to Casterly Rock and knock out the money.
Well, let's go ahead and watch season 3 preview that HBO put out and let's see what's coming up for us.
I was born to rule the Seven Kingdoms, and I will. The war's already begun. I've drawn first blood.
Cersei will be ready. They know we're coming.
So next season, we're going to see...
Episode.
It's next season.
Yeah.
Next episode, we're going to see Jon Snow meet Daenerys.
I'm really excited for that. Any predictions, guys, now that we have to wrap up the show here real quick? Any predictions we got? We'll start with Dennis. Any predictions you got for next week? For this week, actually?
Oh, God, I haven't even thought about this, but I, you know what? No, I'm going to pass.
All right, that's fair. Marie, anything you think that we're going to, what do you think is going to happen between Daenerys and Snow?
Well, okay, Daenerys lost the first battle, so I think she's going to have something happen in her favor, because they usually go tit for tat. They do something sad, they do something good. So Jon Snow is probably going to meet up with her. He's probably going to bend the knee. He'll agree. They'll form some sort of alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps the next battle, Daenerys will win.
All right. Mitch, anything?
Yeah, I'm going to have to echo what Marie said, but I don't think Arya is going to meet up with Jon in the woods on the way. I think she's going to basically pass by him where he doesn't see her, she doesn't see him, and she's going to Winterfell while he goes to meet up with Dany.
I think Arya will end up, my prediction, I think Arya is going to end up meeting up with at least Sansa. At that, but I don't think, I think you're right. I think Snow is not going to happen. Hey, guys. Hey, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for joining in. Marco says, I feel like Dany's not going to believe John about the White Walkers unless John has to prove it to her. That's a very good one. I didn't even think about that. Mercione says, Castle Rock is going down. Hey, thank you, everybody, for listening. I am excited. Tune in the same time next week, 9:45 p.m. on More Like Radio on YouTube or morelikeradio.com/live. Make sure you tune in for all the other great shows on More Like Radio. If you want to subscribe to this, if you want to listen to this without the video, you could just subscribe to More Like Radio and search for Game of Thrones, Wieners, and such. I'm really excited for next week. Anything else, guys? Anything else you guys want to bring up? I'm excited to see more Bran maybe next week, too. That would be...
I just want to know what happens to Arya and which way she goes.
Right, right. By the way, do us a favor. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to More Like Radio and hit the little bell. That'll let you know every time we're live. We do a couple other shows that aren't Game of Thrones related if you want to check us out.
Oh, and as a really positive note to end on, for those who follow the actors, Kit Harington, who plays Jon Snow, actually got engaged to Ygritte, who was the... wildling that he dated for a while before she died. So they were getting married in real life for
reals. Which is, by the way, awesome. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Mitch. We are going to go out here with a Game of Thrones remix by KHSMR and the Golden Army. It's one of my favorite remixes. Thank you, guys. Make sure to subscribe. I think that's about it. Facebook, Game of Thrones, Wieners, and such. All right, we're out of here. See you next week.